Welcome to North Coast Conversation, a public service presentation of AM 930 and 100.3 FM WEOL. I'm your host, Bruce Van Dyke. Today on North Coast Conversation, it's Charles Benke, longtime friend of the station and Lorain County horticulturalist, getting us ready for the gardening season. And now, this week's North Coast Conversation. We're glad to have with us this morning Charles Benke, Lorain County horticulturalist, to give us some good advice to get us inspired for this this new planting season as spring is upon us. And Charles, I've already mowed my lawn once, so I'm not. I've seen people that have done it a couple times, but I finally got my lawn mowed once. I will tell you though, when the eclipse came out, so did all my dandelions. I'm not quite sure what happened. It was like the day before, no dandelions, and then all of a sudden my lawn, pop, dandelions are everywhere right now.
Well, you're correct on the dandelions. They were coming into bloom already on Saturday or Sunday, and we were at the correct growing degree temperature, surprisingly, for the dandelions to bloom.
All right.
And something interesting, I was looking at growing degrees. We're at 126 growing degree days right now. We're ahead of last year by about 50 growing degree days. And that determines when things are going to come into bloom. Like you saw the forsythia come into bloom.
Right. Daffodils have been in full bloom for a while.
Daffodils have been in bloom for almost 3 weeks now, and they'll soon be ending up. But like with the forsythia coming into bloom, it's an indicator that crabgrass is also going to be sprouting on us. And crabgrass is that little seed, grass seed that pops up and then takes over by midsummer, and sometimes you don't have a very good looking lawn. And so growing degree days are coordinated with things that are in flower and also insect populations that
So because I know that they said March was like one of the warmest Marches that we've had in quite a while.
Well, it was, but actually back in 2012, on this same day, we are 249 growing degree days, 100.
Whoa.
So actually in 2012, we were warmer. There's a site one can go to find these little pieces of data. Even back in 2021, we were ahead by about 30 degrees.
But even though we had these growing degree days, there were some days where it was like freezing cold, in other words. So there was not it didn't seem like it was a good run to start getting things going. You'd get inspired, and then you think, okay, not yet, not quite yet. But let's talk a little bit about, and we'll get to maybe getting rid of some of my dandelions and some of that. But let's go, where are we with planting conditions? And the frost-free date, that's always sometime in the middle of May, right?
Right. Typically the frost-free date, I would still say that holds true for about March 15th to 17th. But the last day that we'll have actually 32-degree temperatures in over a long period of time will be actually about April 29th. There was a new update from the USDA on the weather forecast for planting and things like that. And they moved it up to April 29th, believe it or not.
So is this because of like the global warming? Because normally you said May, you're talking about the middle of May is usually when we talk about it, but okay.
But we could have 32 degrees on days afterwards, but generally, they are not going to occur. And our soil temperatures right now, believe it or not, are already at about 54 degrees, which is time to get, things like potatoes put in, carrots, beets, and any of the cool crops.
Right. So I can start getting that vegetable garden ready to go if I needed to as well. Still too early maybe for peppers and tomatoes and all those types of things.
Way too early.
All right. So I mentioned I was doing my lawn cutting as well. What can I do to control my dandelions now? Is this a time for it? I know you probably would have given me another part maybe in the fall to do something, but what can I do now to deal with that?
Well, you might want to wait a little bit. You can use products that are labeled for dandelions control. They'll start curling them up. But please be aware that there's bees that are out there, our native bees, and a few honeybees that are left that are out there. So I wouldn't treat while they are in full bloom. So I would actually go through and mow first and then treat.
Okay. Can I put like a Weedon feed down now?
The Weedon feed, which has usually 2,4-D dicamba, MCPP in it will do a good job. It usually takes about 3 weeks to get a good kill of the broadleaf weeds. And the broadleaf weeds, dandelions, the creeping charlie that's out there, chickweed.
All right.
Some of those things that are out there.
I've been watching some weeds grow in the bed, in the garden bed, and they started out small. I thought I should spray them, but it was too cold. It also didn't seem like they were growing because I didn't know if it, and, you know, then it was going to have too much rain. All of a sudden, I went out there, and they're kind of well-rooted now. So now I got to
deal with them. They're in a garden bed. You might want to just cultivate to control them. If it's in an ornamental bed, you could use certainly something such as Roundup, which is still on the market yet, although that will be coming off the market in several more years. It'll actually be discontinued for sale.
All right. Can I do anything to, like, add seed, reseed a lawn, add some overseed a lawn at this point, too?
Excellent time to be doing that. If you wish to be overseeding, make sure you cut and rent a cedar or something to rough up the lawn. Even using a rake just to scuff it up and get through that thatch layer, because you do need soil seed contact for seed to come in contact with the soil and then to germinate.
Okay.
We're at the right soil temperature, that 54, 55 degrees. But remember, do not apply any crabgrass killer or even your broadleaf weed killers, because that will inhibit any seed you have put down. So be careful about that. Read the labels on products.
Right. So you have to determine whether you're growing something or killing something.
Yes.
They'll cross over between the two. What's the difference between some of the seeds that'll just come in a bag of seeds, and then you have other seeds that seem to have sort of some special new, you know, things applied with them, whether it has to do with some coating or and or other material that's in that
seed?
Okay,
they're usually brightly colored, either green or kind of pink color. Some of them have a fungicide on the label to help prevent disease of that young seedling on germination. They don't usually put any insecticide on, and then some of them will actually add some special coatings to make them stick onto the soil a little bit better, called tackifiers, and we'll make them stick to the ground. But other than that, they should come up. Kind of thinking of some of the lawn seed, if you put down the bluegrass, any of the Kentucky bluegrasses, they will take at least 21 to 25 days to germinate. The quick seed stuff, which is usually perennial ryegrass, should come up in about 10 days, 10 to 12, with moisture if you have water every day. And then with the fescues, they're going to be about 25 days to come up.
Talking today with Charles Benke, Lorain County horticulturalist, here joining us, giving us ready for this gardening and growing season. Lawn problems. I noticed a section of my lawn, I don't know, it has a whitish cast to it or something like that, and I'm trying to figure out whether if there's something growing down there or whether the lawn
is... We're kind of past the thing known as snow mold because of the soil temperature. That was around 32 to 34 degrees. And we really didn't have much snow this year to encourage that white fungus to grow, especially in shaded areas on the lawn. The typical diseases starting at the temperatures that we have now are things such as red thread. There may be powdery mildew that may be on the lawn. There could be also the starting of a dollar spot on the lawn at this time. But again, you might want to bring it into cut out a sample, bring it into a local garden center, and have them look at it. They may know what it is.
I found areas where dogs might have stopped. That is so green. There's little giant green patches. They look at all that.
It's usually kind of brown in the middle and then a nice green patch.
Right.
Or if deer have gone through your yard and left, you know, like little raisinettes all over the place.
Wow. Well, let's talk, besides lawn, let's get into maybe some of our flowering trees. I did see some of those start to flower as well. So I was out there enjoying some of that. What things can we do to help them, or any tree pruning or things like that?
Okay, on our flowering ornamentals, one, enjoy them. Two, don't spray them when they're in bloom, because, again, there's honeybees and other native bees that are out there, and you don't want to injure them. And if you want to spray, do that afterwards. Do not apply any of the dormant sprays. Now, we're already past that period. That was back way in March that you could apply those products. pruning can still be done on most ornamental plants without any problem because the flower bud set won't occur until about June 20th, July 1st on plants. So you can go ahead and do some major pruning. Remember, don't remove more than about one-third of the branches. And again, take out dead, diseased, broken branches first. Always look to see that there's good structural branches, branches that come out. If you hold up your hand with the thumb sticking out, that's a good 70-degree angle, and you want those kind of branches in the tree. Take out branches that are going into the center of any tree. Those are they're shaded and will usually die off within time. So, and then again, if you're doing really large trees, call in a professional tree care company so you don't fall out of the tree, injure yourself, or poke out an eye or cause damage.
What about any pruning of like boxwoods or other shrubs, things like that?
Okay, boxwoods, they typically don't have any significant bloom. Those could be trimmed up and shaped up right now. Azaleas that are coming into bloom, again, prune them after they flower. The hydrangeas, which are usually a question in everybody's mind, what should I do with my hydrangea?
I was going to ask that next, but go ahead.
Okay. Yes. Okay. With the hydrangeas, the old, kind of old stems that are in, you can tell them that they're old. They've kind of turned whitish in color, and they should be pruned out all the way to the bottom. Leave the kind of the leaf mass that's down there. There's some leaves that have fallen down. Those are going to protect the last two buds that might pop out in case we have a frost, because it's usually the hard frost that kills the flower blossoms every year. If we have a hard frost in the month of May, below 32, that can kill flower blossoms. But otherwise, on the bushed hydrangeas, like the grandiflora type, prune down to where you have at least four buds, and that's usually about 4 to 6 inches high. You can see, and the buds have already pushed out quite significantly already. But prune down to those 2 to 4 buds and stop at that point. You can also fertilize at this time with those plants, and that'll be fine. The larger tree type hydrangeas, again, just cut off the dead flowers, trim out the old unneeded branches, and that's all that's needed.
See, I worry sometimes. Hydrangeas confuse me because it's like old wood, new wood, right?
Right. So yeah, there's old wood, new wood. How do you tell them apart? You really got to look at the wood. You've got to use your eye, use the old fingernail test. A lot of old wood is dead, and if you use your fingernail on it, it won't be
so
green
some,
underneath.
It'll come off of the. It'll still grow. Other ones will grow new shoots maybe from the bottom coming up a little bit.
Right, too. And they're very evident. And they're typically more on the outside of the plant than on the inside of the plant. So that's one clue also on finding the best branches.
Okay. All right, we'll get down and look at some of this stuff to see what I need to do. I had good luck last year, but I just want to make sure that the plants themselves are as vibrant this year. Because if you leave all that extra dead stuff, it just gets in the way.
It really does.
It's harder to prune it once the other starts
And again, on pruning, remember that kind of the one-third rule. Okay. Don't take out more than a third out of the plant, because that's getting a little bit hard on pruning, and the plant may not recover as well. Most of the food reserves are still down in the roots and coming up, but again, be careful on how much you take out.
All right. Talking to Charles Benke this morning, good gardening advice. Let's talk a little bit about insects. I don't know, the ants starting to come inside?
Oh, yes. I saw a couple of ant mounds. I was looking out at my house, and there's some little pavement ants that are out moving around. The carpenter ants have been moving around for several weeks now, especially like in the month of March when it got so warm. Those first 2 weeks in March, they were out moving around quite vigorously. They can get in, or they may have had a satellite colony within your house, typically around a window frame, door frame, or if you've had any firewood next to the house, or if there's any old trees near the house. And this could be within 200 to 300 feet of the house where there's a large rotten silver maple tree or oak tree. The nest colony could actually be in there, and they will actually follow things such as the electric lines, or during the summer they'll often walk along garden hose lines or along fence areas and come into your house. So you do need to think, again, we were talking pruning earlier, get branches off from the house, for one thing, that are overhanging on the house. Do check for, usually you're going to see like carpenter ants in one particular room. They're just searching for food. And typically it's usually around the window frame that they're coming in. It could be lower. It could be the house sill frame where they're coming in. Do a little detective work. A little bit of sawdust is often a clue. So look for sawdust because they're eating on that rotting wood to carve out their kind of next little colony area. And so if you find sawdust, that is a very good clue that there's a carpenter ant nest within your home.
That's the thing about ants. You almost have to watch them to see where they're coming from to know, other than just sort of removing them from what you immediately see, like vacuuming up, removing them. You can kind of get a better sense to try to get back to the nest. And there's different ways to treat that, right?
You can One, you can have professional exterminator come in and do the work. They especially know where to look. Typically wet areas around the house, the wood. They'll tell you to do pruning back of shrubbery and things like that. But they also have compounds. And many of the products are available at garden centers also for outdoor use and indoor use. And do take time to read the label that it says for indoor use if you're going to apply it indoors, or if it should only be applied to the outdoor exterior of the building. So do distinguish between that with ant control product.
Right. As a preventative too, you can sometimes put things as a barrier around, like just near, a foot away from the foundation around that area, and maybe even up the side of the foundation.
Right. There's granular products that do a very good job on ants and other insects that like to come into the house. Also, another thing is, as I mentioned earlier, prune shrubbery that is up against the house. It allows for more air circulation. Ants do not like air circulation around them. This even holds true. Ants will set up colonies and beehives on top. All I have to do is lift up the cover, turn it, sideways, and the ants will leave within 30 seconds. Uh-huh. They don't like that air exposure. They like high humidity to live in. And so just by changing the airflow around the house, you can often move ants very quickly.
Okay. Let's see. I was dealing with a lot of some stink bugs. They seem to be, of course, they're so thin, they can come in through anything, it seems. Where do they come from? They're just...
Well, they're out there. The stink bug, the one that's our problem is the brown marmorated stink bug. They're brown with little white dots on them. And those are the ones that have really made a nuisance of themselves. There are other green stink bugs that are out there that are actually predators on other insects. Uh-huh. But this marmorated stink bug likes to get in around cracks and crevices, which says, let's do some caulking around the house. And you might want to also do an insecticide spray around the window foundation, around the house foundation, to keep them out.
You mentioned before about getting our garden ready, planting, and that. I guess any of the annuals is too early for something like that, right? We don't see those yet at the garden center.
Yeah, they're starting. They'll be appearing within the next 2 weeks. Things such as petunias are certainly frost hardy. If snapdragons are frost hardy, you can put them out in many places. But for the really, like, say, geraniums.
Impatiens or begonias?
Impatiens,
like
begonias. You're going to have to wait till mid-May, mid to late May before you put those out, just because of the frost fact. Or be ready with this. There is a frost cloth that is available. Just simple cloth if you got some old rags that you can throw over, plants in case a cold night is predicted, will protect plants at this time of the year.
All right, we're going to talk about one of your favorite subjects, mulch. This is starting to get out there, garden centers everywhere else, the mulch. And sometimes there's whether you're buying it in bulk or buy it in bags. What can you give us some advice on mulching and when? Do you mulch every year, or do you have to just determine how much is being degraded from previous years?
Look at how fast it's degraded. Sometimes all you have to do is just fluff up the mulch that you have, just scuff it up with a rake. If it seems very thin, typically less than an inch, and again, mulch no deeper than about an inch deep is all that it has to go. That will act as a barrier to keep weed seeds from germinating. Select Malts does not have a bitter smell to it. Sometimes even in the bag, it has a bitter smell, and that bitter smell is acetic acid and aldehydes and other fermentables that are still coming off. Same thing with bulk malts. If it's steaming away and has a kind of an acrid smell to it, let it sit for a couple of days. Get in there and fluff it up to let those volatile organic compounds come off, and then you can apply it. And again, you can use your fingers as a rule. Use your little pinky finger here and stick it down.
That's your forefinger. That's your finger. I just want to make sure you understand which in the thumb. That's the one on the side here.
Well, no more down than about the first notch knuckle on your first second knuckles.
So 1 to 2 inches is basically 1 to 2 inches. Kind of given me for that, based on finger size here.
Yeah,
that's the depth that you're talking
about. That's the depth. Don't go deeper than that. And then it's not unusual if we have a rainy spell after you put down mulch to see there's either pink or yellow slime mold that will grow in various places on the mulch. It's just a kind of opportunistic fungus, kind of acts almost like an animal because it'll grow and crawl up things. But it can be just picked up with a shovel and removed.
I have to tell you, though, that's one of those things is if you're a new homeowner, because there's a lot of people that this is their first time with their homeowner, or they have a landscape and they have a yard, they put mulch down, and then they'll go out one morning and they'll suddenly see what you like to call dog vomit, I believe is the term you sometimes will use for that. It's sort of at the moment you're starting to think, what is this thing? What do I need to do? But this is a natural thing that's going to occur.
It's actually a slime mold. All right. One of the interesting little molds. You can grow it on bread if you want to. If you ever remember back in high school, back in science class, they had you grow a slime mold, perhaps, and it was actually this little fungus. It's usually a typically little yellow one, but it doesn't hurt anything. It's just decaying the material that's there, and it likes to climb things. It'll actually climb up the stem of a plant sometimes, and then as soon as the sun comes out, it'll retreat, and then the next morning I'll climb up a little more. And eventually, it uses up its food reserves.
You make it sound like it's alive. I mean,
well,
I guess,
alive.
Okay, sure.
It's flowing protoplasm. Okay. Is what it is. It's kind of like the blob.
I understand. Yes. Do we just like mix it with a stick? Do we shovel it away?
No, just shovel it up. Just put it in a shovel. Put it in the garbage can. And away with it.
Okay. But that's just what happens when you have this organic material.
Right.
You'll have something growing there as well.
And the important thing when you are putting down mulch. Water it immediately afterwards, because what you're doing there is watering it will encourage bacteria to grow, and the bacteria actually overcome the fungi that are in the mulch, and you usually don't have all these creatures coming up.
What about applying something like a pre-emergence,
No, it doesn't work.
Well, underneath, what doesn't work?
Well, if you're thinking of a fungicide.
No, I'm talking about mulch. Putting something that usually when you put it to prevent weeds from growing, not only do the mulch, but you can kind of put some sort of.
You can do that if it's only annual weeds that you're after. If there is perennial grasses such as quackgrass or dandelions, that will not work because unless you would say use something such as Roundup, kill off everything first. And then just slightly let it degrade. Okay. It takes about 90 days for it to degrade. But you could still just cover it over with mulch, and you would have the other things killed.
Putting down any kind of barrier, is that a
it's useful
option?
Yeah,
too?
People do that quite often. A good quality barrier, and then you again probably won't have to mulch as much because you don't have this kind of soil mulch interface. Where the mulch is broken down just by natural bacteria and fungi.
I have weeds that must have pointed drill heads because they just burrow through some of that mesh stuff, and suddenly they'll grow out there as well. But any kind of hole, they'll find their way through that. But mulch mainly used for two purposes, I guess. One is to prevent weeds. The other one is just sort of a beautify the landscape. It does create sort of a nice backdrop to any other plants that you put down there as well.
Right, and there's various types of mulch. If you can, for really quality mulch, the hardwood, composted hardwood barks are the best. The larger the chunks, the better, rather than really finely ground stuff. Larger chunks actually have some antimicrobial properties to them because of the fungi growing on them. And there's also chips that are nothing more than ground up pallets or the center of the tree, which is the wood part of the tree. and they're just colorized, and those break down very fast. It's much like laying down just newspaper on the ground, which breaks down within about 3 months.
Talk with Charles Benke, horticulturalist. Some good gardening advice today. What about, I guess, people may be doing some new landscaping. When is it, I guess, here's a question. When is the time to get rid of the old landscaping, putting in new landscaping?
Well, that's up to you and your pocketbook, I
guess.
Think.
Well, mainly that's what it is, I suppose. But sometimes you think, is this plant run its course in some sense?
In cases, and a lot of times, people made the wrong selection of plants in the first place in front of their house. They're way overgrown. And sometimes you have these simply overgrown landscapes, and they need to be ripped out and start over again. But, you know, we have a group in the greater Cleveland area called the Ohio Landscape Association. They're down in Broadview Heights. You can give them a call. You can find them listed in the Ohio Landscape Association, and their members will be glad to assist you. Many of them have been in business. I've known them, many of them, for some 40 years living here in the Cleveland area. And they do very good design jobs, and they know what plants to use.
Find out which grows well in our climate and our season.
Yes.
As well as how big they'll eventually get, and you know how best to place them. Because that's one of the things, placing of a plant too close to the house or somewhere, maybe it's not a good place to put a tree because of the side of the house, north, south, east, west, that type of thing. Good advice. But we're excited to get ready for another good growing season. If people want to find out other information, where's other good resources that you might want to recommend for them?
Well, again, I previously worked for the Ohio State University. And again, OSU has a site called Ohio Line. Just type in Ohio Line under your Google search, and it will bring up a series of fact sheets that are very accurate that you can go to and read all about various plant diseases, insect problems, you know, plant selection, vegetable growing, turf growing, all those kind of things. If you don't want to use OSU, you can go over to Purdue University or up to Michigan State or University of Pennsylvania. They also have very good information online and will be of help to you.
Charles Benke, Lorain County horticulturalist, our guest today on North Coast Conversation. If you'd like to find out about other guests on the show, you can always check out the link at WEOL.com. Look under On Air and North Coast Conversation tab to find previous programs. I'm your host, Bruce Van Dyke. Thanks for listening to North Coast Conversation on AM 930, 100.3 FM, on the free WEOL mobile app, and at WEOL.com.